Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The last live show of the year. We'll have a best of podcast for you next week. This is episode 1552, recorded Sunday, December 23rd, 2018. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. Enjoy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, Christmas Eve Eve. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got your smart phones. We got your smart watches. We got your augmented reality glasses. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. If you're outside that area, you can still call. It'll be free, but you have to use Skype out or some sort of VoIP thing. You know how that is. 8888-ASK-LEO. The website, TechGuyLabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. You ready for the holidays? Oh, my. You know what that means for me? End of the year means it's time to plan the end of the year programming. Oh, wait a minute. Too late. Nuts. I should have done it sooner. The big stories of 2018 in technology. Actually, I did. I got up early and I made a list, a long, long list of all sorts of stuff going on this year. It was a crazy year in tech. I mean, there's always, new iPhone every year, new Samsung phone every year. This year we had new iPads, hadn't had those in a while, and new Macintoshes. Oh, that's nice. But, that's not, I don't know, is that news? I think the big stories this year, of course, were Russia using social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It turns out even Pokemon Go, yes, even Pokemon Go to try to influence 2016 election and the 2018 elections and just American thought in general, trying to sow discord. The Ruskies at it again. It's a longstanding tradition. I think that was an interesting story. It really didn't, unfortunately, Facebook just did not have a good year, partly because of that. I mean, it really started because of the accusations that Facebook had leaked information about its users to Cambridge Analytica, which then used it to target users illegally with ads. And Facebook said, oh, at first. And then they said, oh, yeah. And then they admitted Cambridge Analytica harvested data of up to 87 million users. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was as bad, I would say it was as bad a year for Facebook as you can get. Not the least of which, because on one day in the stock market a few months ago, Mark Zuckerberg lost about $40 billion of personal value, and Facebook, what did they lose? $100 billion. It's the biggest loss in the history of the stock market. Of course, that was in July. I don't know if you can blame that on any of the Facebook issues, the hacks, the leaks, the congressional testimony, the investigations, because it didn't happen right away. But all the tech giants lost a lot of money this year. By the end of the year, the stock market punished them all. Remember the heydays, the glory days of 2018 in the midsummer when Apple was a $1 trillion company? Remember that? And then Amazon followed. Remember that? Now they're about 20% off that. Trillion, no. 800 billion. Facebook's stock plummeted in July 19%. Its market cap went down $119 billion. Wow. No company has ever lost that much value in one day. Intel in 2000 and Microsoft in 2000, that was the previous tech bust, right? Came close. 90 and 80 billion respectively. But that was an overall market correction, bear market. I guess you could say maybe that was the beginning of the bear market in the U.S. What else did we learn this year? Jeff Bezos became the richest man, talking about money, in history, worth more than $150 billion. His net worth has tumbled a little since then. But that's not bad. $55 billion more than Bill Gates, even when you adjust it for inflation. Bill Gates, at his height, at the height of his worth in 1999, was worth $100 billion 2018 dollars. So Bezos, $150 billion. I don't know what he's worth today. It's simultaneously a lot less, and it doesn't matter. Bill Gates said in 1999, when he was the richest man in the world, I'm infinitely wealthy. I was infinitely wealthy when I had $1 billion. I have more money than I could ever spend. Really doesn't matter after that. AT&T bought Time Warner this year. Federal judge said, go ahead. What could possibly go wrong? AT&T promised, whatever happens, we won't raise prices. And, of course, what do you think? You know the story. You know the end of this story. The minute the acquisition went through, they raised prices. Oh. Wired this week published the 21 and counting biggest Facebook scandals of 2018. That's almost two a month. two a month. That's a goodly pace. Congratulations. Not only did you lose more money in the than any company in the history of the stock market, you also had 21 horrible privacy violations, scandals, etc. I don't even count anymore. I don't even report it anymore. I just left Facebook. Actually, that was the other trend this year. 60 Minutes did a piece on it a couple weeks back. Silicon Valley moguls keeping their kids off their devices. Steve Jobs famously wouldn't let his kids have an iPad, nor would Bill Gates. Both Apple and Google released digital wellness apps for their phones in response to people saying, your stuff's too addictive. Well, okay, we'll give you a button. This is what Apple did. We'll give you you can set a limit, and then we'll give you a button that when you exceed the limit, I spent too much time on Facebook, too much time on Instagram, I spent too much time on Twitter. When you hit the limit, you've spent an hour and a half on Twitter today, do you want to stop? You can just say no and go on. Yeah, see? But you're doing it with full knowledge. Just another button to quickly click and ignore, right? This was the year the General Data Protection Regulation passed in Europe. So far, there have been some good things. I think we wouldn't have learned about the second biggest breach in history, the Marriott breach of $500 million records, if it hadn't been for that. Because there's a rule in GDPR. It's a European rule, but any company that does business in Europe, and sure Marriott does, has to adhere to it. You only have 72 hours to reveal such breaches. See, that's a lot better than some like Yahoo, which waited a couple of years. They didn't even tell Verizon when Verizon was buying them. They just ixnay on the each bray. Don't say anything about that. Then there's always the negative sides of laws like GDPR, the cookie banner. You see it every page you go to now. What is that accomplishing? This site uses cookies, okay? Yeah, okay. This site uses cookies, okay? Yeah, okay. Read our cookie policy? No, thank you. No, thank you. Of course, after GDPR went into effect in the summer, I think it was it May? A number of U.S. newspapers started blocking their sites in Europe. They said, you know, this we're not even going to go there, literally. Chicago Tribune, L.A. Times, we're not even going to go there. On the other hand, thanks to GDPR, you can now delete your data from Facebook, Twitter, Google completely. You say, hey, get rid of that stuff. They didn't have to do it in the U.S., but they did, which is nice of them. Has this been a good year for you or a bad year? 8888 Ask Leo, the year in tech. I think we can stop now and look ahead to 2019. What do you say? 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We can talk high tech. This last show of 2018. Next week's, you know, I'll take the week off. So this is your chance. It's Kim Schaffer. She's the phone. Angel. I have to rewrite these lyrics. In this day and age, you can't just say things like that. You got to say nice things. Hello, you are very festive. holiday tiara, I guess you'd call that.
I was trying to figure out how to keep it on with headphones at the same time.
Oh, you know what they should do is they should make headphones that look like that.
There you go.
They are. So to paint a word picture here on the radio, she's wearing a tiara that is festooned with the old. What I like is it's the old fashioned Christmas lights, the old bulbs that used to burn out and break. Yeah. And they're blinking.
They are. And they blink in different patterns, I believe.
Oh, I kind of like the slow blink. Now you look like the Statue of Liberty.
I know, because it's kind of tipping over.
Yeah, you need a torch. Very, very festive. Happy holidays to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What should we do today? Should we answer calls?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're continuing in the theme of spending money, because that's what everybody's doing right now.
Tell me about your tech year before we go to the call.
My tech year was very techy. I got the Apple iWatch too many months too soon.
You got an Apple Watch?
Yeah, I got that in April. Did not know they were going to come out with a new model in September.
Nice.
And I got my new
And you got an iPhone. XS?
XS Max.
You got a Max.
Yeah. With 256 gigabytes.
Whoa.
So I won't run out of memory.
Somebody was generous.
Myself.
Tim Cook thanks you. Tim Cook says you've done your bit. Yeah. You can relax until next Christmas.
Yeah, well, no. And then at the beginning of the year, I need to go get my MacBook Pro repaired
or something.
So, they're going to get all my money.
I don't want to, but I probably should add up all the money I've spent at Apple this year.
You might throw up. Don't do it.
They really get you, don't they?
You will be nauseous.
Yeah.
Because I know you spend a lot.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm going to do it. It'll be part of my New Year's resolution to stop.
No, you won't.
I can't.
You can't. Next year, new stuff, and you'll buy that, too.
I can't. So, I'm sorry. You wanted to spend somebody's money?
So, Dennis in Marina Del Rey needs a new computer, but he's got some external hard drives. So, he wants, like, a hard driveless computer?
A hard driveless computer. Yeah. Okay.
Might be able to help him with that.
Merry Christmas,
Kim. Merry Christmas.
You've put me in a festive mood.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's probably the only red thing I have in my wardrobe.
It's very nice. You see, I'm wearing a smoking jacket.
Yes, I love that. And your bow tie.
And a red bow tie.
Yes, and a gold pin.
It says something. It says Mary. I can't read it. It's upside down and it's handwritten and I don't do cursive. I think it says something, but I don't know. John, what does that say? What is
Mary everything, happy whatever.
Merry everything, happy whatever. It's a Oh, look, and John has brought me
matching
necklace to go with your tiara. We are festive, aren't we? Merry Christmas. Hello, Dennis. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, hi, Leo. You've helped me before. I appreciate it. I'm Dennis the photographer.
Yay. What kind of pictures do you take, Dennis the photographer?
Hopefully good ones, but... No, I do a lot of fashion photography, a lot of celebrity photography, and you listed my website before.
I remember.
I helped about four or five people and really enjoyed helping them. So anyway, as you would guess, it's my computer crashed the other day. And I'm having withdrawal symptoms right now, dizzy, weak, cold and sweaty palms.
I don't know if I could survive without a computer. I just don't know what life would be like. I probably should try it.
It's difficult. I'm going crazy because I've got some downtime. But anyway, this was an older Gateway I had about 6 years, spent about $1,000 for it. And it had the front bays where you could pull a hard drive out.
Oh, yeah. They used to do that. I remember that. It's the, like drive sockets.
Right. Yeah. Loved it. And basically, it picked a heck of a time to crash because I just ordered a new SSD from 1 terabyte Samsung. And so I've got in there because I had so many photographs. Basically, I bought 2 8-terabyte drives, SSD. I'm sorry, not SSD, Seagate.
Okay.
SATA.
So your setup, the way you like to do it is... you must have a drive that you don't take out of that computer that's your boot drive, but then the second data drive or the third data drive, those are in a caddy that you can eject.
Right. Basically, I just leave them in the machine all the time, or did leave them in the machine. What I was doing is I was ordering the SSD to put all the program files on, and then I was going to use the number one 8-terabyte drive to put all the pictures and data on, and it back up to the second 8-terabyte.
Well, if you never eject them, I would just say forget the ejector in the front.
Right.
You could just, I mean, any tower case will have room for multiple drives. I think it's a great way to operate.
Right, because, and that's what I want to do. I know that there's a USB housing, but so basically...
No, it's nice to have it inside because it's faster.
Right. So I'm looking for a computer where I can add two 8-terabyte hard drives, and then for the main hard drive, I think I'm going to send back the SSD and get... I've heard about the NVMe or NVMe.
Yeah. Yeah. So if your motherboard comes with NVMe capability, usually that means a what they call an M.2 slot. It's a PCIe slot designed for a hard drive. You could it'll be a little more expensive than the Evo that you bought there, but it will be a lot faster because it's right on the bus. And you don't have to make that one a big one since you're going to have 8 terabytes of storage. Actually, double that. You could have that be 128 gigs or 256, just enough to boot Windows and put your apps on, because it's the data that really takes up all that space, right? And you're going to put those on a...
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking to buy a computer that's... Oh, besides the photos that I do some video editing for people just to kind of help them out a little bit. And so I need a computer that's fast enough to do video and will hold 2 8-terabyte drives. And has no main hard drive, but I want to use the M2 for the main hard drive.
Yeah, or you can buy it with an M2. Sometimes you'll get a deal that way, and it'll save you a little installation. I would go to Dell for something like this. Dell, this is what we use for our editors, our video editors. We use Dell Precision Workstations. You don't need to go with those. They have less expensive ones like the Inspiron or the Vostro, but those are really serious tower cases with lots of capacity designed for professionals like you, photo editors and video editors. We're very happy with those.
Yeah, I did talk to Dell yesterday, and they said it's going to be around 3,000.
Well, what you just described, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I mean, you want a fast processor, you want a fast bus, you're going to have you want a modern motherboard. I suppose you could get it cheaper. I wouldn't. I would go with a Dell workstation. This is your business. This is what we use. We're very happy with those. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I would say if that's what you want to do, you're going to have a pro system to do video editing and photo editing with that much capacity. Yeah, I think it's going to be between 2,000 and 3,000. I mean, I spend 3,000 routinely on systems like that. Big Pee Wee, I have a feeling you're going to outdo yourself with a holiday cheer this episode. Can I put one request in? At some point today, I'd like Bruce Springsteen and Clarence Clemens. Santa Claus is coming to town. That's just for me. It's not Christmas until I hear the boss and the big man. Line one, Jim in Bend, Oregon. Hello, Jim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
I have a question for you. I just bought a new Chrome OS made by Dell. It's Dell 14.
Yeah.
It comes with OS 71. Now, I want to download the APK app so I can watch off of Google Play. I can watch some of the TV, free TV shows.
Yeah.
And it wants you to... When I read about it, it says you have to put it into developer mode by rebooting it.
No. Do not do that.
Good.
It may be that Dell, I don't know, it doesn't support the Play Store, but most new, in fact, I think all the new Chromebooks do. So what you want to do is use the Play Store on Chrome OS, and that will not require you to go into developer mode. That makes it more insecure. So that's not what you want.
Well, see, what I did is I went to the Play Store on this, and I can download about 80%.
Oh, I get it. You want to download stuff you can't download on the Play Store.
Well, the APK file, and when it'll download it to my thing, but it won't install it.
Right.
It. and it says you have to be in the developer mode.
Yeah.
And what I found was I was reading about it, and the old Chromebooks, OS 44 or something like that, they said they had a developer switch, and all you had to do was throw the switch, and it went into it. And then they took it out. Well, on this new one, I'm in Chrome extensions, and it has the developer mode switch. They must have put it back in. I'm not sure, but I flip it, and I can't figure out if it's doing anything. It brings down something, a menu that says load unpacked, pack extensions.
Okay, slow down. A couple of things. So the stuff you can install from the Play Store is approved, does not need developer's mode. Sounds like you want to install some apps that are not in the Play Store, or when you go to the Play Store, it says these are not for you. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I go to the Play Store and say download a program called Morpheus, and it downloads fine. And when I click install, it says it won't install because it's an APK file.
Well, all apps are all Android apps are APK files.
Huh. I don't know why some of them, they must have blocked some of them maybe out of the store.
So, yeah, I'm surprised it actually lets you download it, because normally what you would see is you can't run this program on your system. And I think the TV apps, you may be right. Morpheus is not it's considered, probably not considered appropriate.
Yeah.
You're not getting it from the Play Store. You're downloading it somewhere else.
No, that's right out of the Play Store. And it downloads, it just doesn't run. It tells you have to go to that page. And so I wanted to try
this is where people on Android get in trouble. You know, you hear about people having malware issues on Android. It's when you try to do this kind of stuff. If you can't install it and run it from the Play Store, I strongly recommend against it. I'm at the Morpheus site, which, by the way, to go to the Morpheus site, I had to go through a Google warning. Your connection is not private. You sure you want to go there? Yes, I do. Unsafe? Yes. Okay, so that's a bad start. And at the Morpheus site, it says the Morpheus TV app is not available in the Play Store because it's a pirate app. So if you want to install it on your very nice, secure Chromebook, what you have to do is turn off security. You have to go into developer mode. You can go into developer mode in software. It's not hard to do. You do need to reboot. That's why you're not seeing it. And it's essentially going to say, all right, I'm not going to protect you any longer. You can do anything you want now. I wouldn't do it if I were you. I think all of these warnings should probably scare you. There are some stuff, YouTube TV, Dr. Mom's saying, and smart things. Unaccountably, the Play Store lets you download, but it won't install. Take it as a warning that you shouldn't install it. Morpheus, I really would install. But if it's something like YouTube TV and it won't install on a Chromebook, there's a reason. I'm not sure why, but there's an incompatibility. Probably won't run well, I would guess. There's certainly no piracy in YouTube TV or the SmartThings app. So, and there are, somebody's saying, legit apps that aren't in the store, but you better darn well know what you're doing. There is no setting on Chrome OS like there is an Android. You know, an Android, you can say, there's a box you can check that says, I want to download stuff from other places. And it says, all right. And it gives you a big warning. Okay. Why don't folks? No. Okay. Having said all that, yes, you can enable developer mode. The best way to do this, at least in my experience, is rebooting the computer, powering it off. Then you hold escape, and there's a key. They call it the refresh key. It's like a circular arrow key on the function bar. Hold escape, circular arrow, and press the power button all at the same time. There's no physical developer switch anymore. Once it gets to that, it's going to sit there, and then you press Control D, and that'll put, when it asks you, put in the recovery media, and that'll put you in developer mode. Now, what does that do? Well, it turns off a couple of things. One, it turns off OS verification. It means that it's no longer checking to make sure that your operating system hasn't been modified by malware. Do you, folks, do you hear, I hear, it's either Santa coming or alarm bells. I'm thinking it's alarm bells. You also can then install arbitrarily anything you want and mess around with it all you want. That's how you put Linux on a Chromebook and so forth. Now, here's the good news. You can do this and then change your mind. It's not a permanent thing. If you want to turn off the developer mode, you reboot your Chromebook. And when you see OS verification is off, you just hit the space bar. You turn it back on. It will power wash it, thereby eliminating anything you might have put on there that's dangerous. And you'll have a nice, fresh, safe Chromebook. The whole theory of Chromebooks is we're going to really limit what you do. We're only going to let you do safe things. And so that way, it's much more secure. Fortunately, most of the things most people want to do are safe. I think Morpheus, I'm a little worried about Morpheus TV. That's a little sketch. It looks like to get the APK, you have, I don't know, I don't think you can get that from the store unless they offer it on the store and then there's some sort of, what it's really doing is sideloading or something. But you, I know why you want Morpheus. It's basically pirating TV. And the risk of doing that is, in general, is that the people who make that kind of stuff are not the most trustworthy people in the world. And who knows? Who knows what you're getting? However, there is a way to turn on developer mode. There is a way to install it. And the good news is, if you turn off developer mode, it'll power wash it. And no one will know the difference. Unless it stole your credit card information while it was in the hacked mode. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Those ain't sleigh bells. Let me look. I'm just curious. Morpheus. I bet it's not the...
I don't know about you, but I have a shoebox in my closet full of old photos. I want those.
I have a shoebox in my closet full of old shoes. Morpheus TV. Oh, yeah, these are not from... Here's one from Black Hat Developer. What could possibly go wrong? Another one from Jennifer Hunter. Yeah, these are not... These are not Morpheus TV. These are apps, and I'm surprised Google approved them, but they're harmless, I guess, that tell you, you know, here, what you need to do is go to Morpheus TV and download it and install it. Yes, only deal with trusted vendors like Facebook and Marriott. Don't forget Yahoo. You know, stick with the... Stick with the big boys. Oh, Lord. In general, I would only, if you have to call me and ask how to do it, I would say don't do it. I would only recommend these kinds of things for people who really know what they're doing. Generally, you get that Google malware notice. It means there's malware on the site. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Now, see, now it's Christmas. Christmas has officially begun. Or Festivus, for the rest of us. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Cotton in Surprise Valley, California. Hello, Cotton.
Hi, Leo. How the heck are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. It's a snowy, rainy Sunday here, and I wish you a Merry Christmas.
You're up in the hills, up in the mountains.
I'm 8 miles from Oregon, and 8 miles from Nevada, and 25 miles from Oregon.
Nice. Merry Christmas.
Thanks very much. So a couple weeks ago, I have a MacBook, early 2013 MacBook Pro. I don't like the new MacBooks, and I need Ethernet and the other ports, so I thought I'd just extend the life of this guy.
Completely reasonable. I've done that with a 2015 MacBook.
I'm pressing it, trying to see how many years I could get out of it.
Yeah.
So I went to OWC and bought a new SSD and a battery replacement. The battery head was swelling, which really pressed me into this whole operation.
The nice thing about the 2013s, it's pretty easy to do that. You can access it. There's just a little latch. So it's easy to fix that, right?
The battery was rated by OWC as an hour advanced or something like that. But I got through it. Well, what I did first was replace the SSD. I loaded the new one with the OS and such and replaced that and put that in with the old battery, and everything lit up and worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to do the battery, and I followed this instruction video to the minutest detail and was careful about static and everything. You have to, essentially, they give you a hypodermic and some acetone. And you
holy cow.
Pour it in to unglue the battery.
Oh, wow. So this is not, all right. So in the, I guess, pre-2013 MacBooks, maybe a few years earlier, it was easy to pop out. They actually had a latch and a lid, and you could just pop it out.
Oh, this, no.
So you had to unscrew the back. I got it. All right.
Yep, back off.
And it's glued in. Even in 2013, Apple started doing those shenanigans. That's a shame.
Yeah, two of the lobes, it's got a four-lobe battery assembly, and two of them are glued to the front of the body.
Just for future reference, it was easy to put the SSD in, right? It just pops out. And I've done that on a 2015 MacBook. If anything's glued in, that is a pretty strong indicator you should take it to Apple and have them do it.
Yeah.
I think you're realizing that now. So they gave you acetone. Okay.
That's
nail polish remover.
Sells you a kit with goggles and gloves. And
holy cow. Did you not at that point start to have qualms about the process? Holy cow.
I tell you, I'm 200 miles from an Apple store.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah, no, you're do it. Yeah, it makes sense. You should be able to do this. So what happened?
Put the new battery in and the thing's dead to the world.
Oh, Lord.
So I called Mac Sales and they said, well, we'll send you a new battery. And I thought that was really nice, but I was skeptical that I was going to do anything. I put the old battery back in, which obviously was working when I took it apart. And it was dead. Got the new battery or the replacement from them. And, no, thing's dead.
So there's a couple of other sources for videos for this. First place I'd send you is iFixit.com.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're great. They're the repair manual for the internet, and their goal is to make it. In fact, they've been a big advocate of the right to repair movement. They've supported right to repair legislation in California and all over the country, and had some successes with that, I might add. So, I would go and look at their videos and their detailed guide because they're very good.
Great.
And they may have some detail that Max, Otherworld Computing left out. Although I've always trusted Otherworld Computing. In fact, that's where I usually get my replacement parts, and that's exactly whose videos I follow, and they send you tools and all that stuff. But it might be time for a second opinion about the process. You connected it up and everything, and that all seemed normal?
Yeah, I was really, really careful.
Golly, I don't know. At this point, I don't know what happened. It sounds like maybe something shorted.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's fuses somewhere on there, but I don't know where. So, and I don't know how easily fixed those are. If this happens again, anytime a battery bulges, it's a good idea to call the manufacturer, only because they often, because of the fire hazard of a swelling lithium-ion battery, those can burst and burst into flame and even explode. They will often take it very seriously and replace it for you, even though it's well out of warranty, right? It's 6 years old.
Well, I never thought of that because of its age.
Yeah. No, I understand. But this is true for phones and stuff. A lot of times, because they don't want to have your house burned down and be responsible. Next time, and for anybody listening, if a battery's swelling, the case is starting to burst open, be very careful, because lithium-ion batteries, when punctured, will burst into flame. They have toxic chemicals in them. They could cause a fire, or worse, they could explode, spraying toxic chemicals all over you. It's not a happy thing, and that's why companies that make products with it. But first of all, that's why when you get a lithium-ion battery-powered device in the mail, I'm sure people have noticed this, the last couple of years, it's got a big old warning on it. Inside are batteries, careful! And when you need one replaced, they'll send you a specially packaged box. They won't ship it by air. They do all sorts of stuff. This stuff can be dangerous. So I would put that battery aside. It is possible that in the swelling, it also damaged something.
Well, it was working, though. It was in-
yeah, all right. That's good.
Well, okay, no suggestions.
I don't know what went wrong, so I don't have any insight into this. There are videos on YouTube from a lot of techies, and iFixit is absolutely a trusted source for information and videos on doing this. I know they have a step-by-step. Do make sure you're using I think if Otherworld Computing is selling the battery, it's fine. And did they? And you're using the charger that it came with your MacBook to charge it?
Yep.
Does the MacBook work with the battery out? It should.
Wow. I didn't even try that.
Yeah, it should. A lot of times, and Apple's are, I think, in this category, laptops won't function if the battery's dead. But if you plug them in and remove the battery, they're fine. But they require power at this point. So sure. that's something to test is with the battery disconnected, you don't need to remove it. See if you can power the computer up.
Okay.
A couple of tips.
Another question?
Yeah,
time?
Sure.
So this is over in the LastPass category. Both my wife and I have climbed onto the LastPass train.
Good.
Because of you.
Thank you. But they're a sponsor, but also I tell people to use them because you got to do that. It's just, yeah.
No, it just became so cumbersome.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my wife, early this summer, got an email from somebody guessing one of her main passwords.
Oh, ignore it. I got that,
so
too.
So the question is, how would they have guessed her password?
They didn't guess it. This is a common scam. You know all those breaches you hear about with Yahoo and Marriott and sure. Equifax? So there's a whole database of stolen passwords out there. In fact, you can go to a website called Have I Been Pwned? Have I Been P-W-N-E-D? Because that's how the elite hacksaws talk about it. HaveIBeenPwned.com and enter your email address, and you'll be amazed. They'll show you all the breaches and how many times your email address was breached, and in some cases with the password. Generally, when you get those emails, they're older passwords. This is one of the reasons we say use a unique, and LastPass is useful, use a unique password every single time, because that older password is in that data dump from the breach, and they'll try it, hackers will try it on every other site as well, just in case you used it again. However, you know, that email, I got the email, it said, this is your password. We used it to log onto your computer, and we've hacked it, and we took pictures of you watching a porno, which we were going to give to all of your friends unless you send us money. That was my reaction. Ha, ha, ha. I ignored it.
Yeah.
And nothing bad ever happened. Yeah, this is a well-known scam because these passwords are widely available.
Okay, I've been pwned.
You have I been pwned. HaveIBeenPwned. It's just Have I Been Owned with a P. .com. Troy Hunt's great site. Tell her not to worry.
You're an incredible resource. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Happy holidays, Cotton. Take care.
You.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, that kind of stuff. Chris Marquardt, our photo guy, I think he's coming up at 12:30. I think he's here. He's going to go on vacation next month. Take some time off, but he's here next half hour. Talk about taking better pictures with your smartphone or your camera. I mentioned at the end of the hour, a site that everybody probably should know about, not because I think everybody needs to check it. You can pretty much assume, if you've been using an email address for any length of time and you've logged into websites with it, it's probably been pwned. Pwned is what the hacksaws, the elite hacksaws, call owned. And owned is what they mean when they say, we got into your computer and we can do anything we want. We own you. You've been owned. And if you've been hacked, you've been pwned, which is dopey, but so are hacksaws. The site Have I Been Pwned has been around for a long time, and it's really very simple. A guy named Troy Hunt collects data dumps of all the breaches. Because, you know, what happens if somebody breaks into Actually, Marriott's maybe an exception, and I'll tell you why in a second. But let's say, you know, the 3 billion accounts at Yahoo that were, exposed. Eventually, they get around to selling them. Because, you know, that database, they're not going to use all those names and try to create fake credit cards. They sell them to people who want to do identity theft or try to hack into your stuff or whatever. There's a market for these things. So what Troy did is he went around to the markets and downloaded as many databases as he could find. And then he put it all in one big database. And when you go to haveibeenpwned.com and you enter your email address, it will then search through those. So I just did it with an email address I've had for 20 years. So if it's not been pwned, I don't know why not. And it says, oh no, pwned! Pwned on 21 breached sites. I use that address to log in almost everything, so I'm not surprised. And it found two pastes, and I should explain what a paste is, probably. It's short for paste bin. Hackers sometimes... Paste bin is an anonymous place you could put data, paste it in effect. That's why it's called a paste, you know, like copy and paste. And then distribute that. So these pastes are anonymous websites, basically, with data pasted into them. And then he'll give you a list of the breaches you were pwned in. I'm getting tired of saying pwned. and it's, by the way, a big ad for a password manager. It didn't used to be, but I guess they came along and said, hey, we'd like to buy everything. So the breaches I was pwned in were the Adobe breach. This is in alphabetical order. The anti-public combo list, which is a large list of 458 million unique email addresses. Now, I have to point out, just because they have your email address doesn't mean they have your password, but it will tell you what was compromised. In the case of the Adobe breach, for instance, it was email addresses, password hints, passwords, and usernames. That's pretty much everything. Apollo, Bitly, Discus, Dropbox, Evony, which is a game. Exactus. I don't even know what Exactus is. I don't even know why I'm on Exactus. Oh, it's a marketing firm. In June of this year, they publicly, inadvertently leaked 340 million records of personal data. I didn't even know about this one. Nice. What leaked? Oh, let's see. Credit status information, dates of birth, education levels, email addresses, ethnicities, family structure, financial investments, gender, home ownership status, income level, IP address, marital status, name, net worth, occupation, personal interest, phone number, physical address, religion, and spoken languages. Oh, good news. They didn't get my password on that one. So, and on and on. Kickstarter, Last.fm, LinkedIn, Little Monsters. That's Lady Gaga's social site. I'm on that. Modern Business Solutions, MySpace. They have my MySpace password? Oh, no. Now, here's the problem. If way back in 1998, when you signed up for MySpace, you used your password at the time, and since you were 13, it was monkey123. I hope you haven't used that password anywhere else because it's well known. And this is the thing. That email that our caller got last hour, his wife got, probably had a password from something like that. It's almost always, in my case, it was a very old password, like monkey123, something insecure that I hadn't used since my youth. And so they just have this database. They send out these emails. They're not really hacking you. That's too much trouble. They're just hoping you'll get terrified and send them money. It's, you know, a kind of blackmail thing. Ticketfly, Tumblr, Trillion. You've been scraped. What? So, and here's paste bins you've been found in. And these are both from, one's from this year, one's from a year ago. So fairly recent. So Troy is looking at 334 pwned websites, 5,688,000,000 pwned accounts, 85,000 pastes, 93 million paste accounts. So you can see there's quite a bit of them. Now, I mentioned that there was one breach you don't have to worry about. If you were a Starwood Group member or had a Marriott Club card, that kind of thing, you may remember that Marriott announced a couple of weeks ago that, oh, lo and behold, hackers have been wandering our system since before we bought it from Starwood. 4 years they've been wandering through our system, collecting information, and we believe maybe half a billion accounts have been compromised. But here's the good news. It wasn't hackers. It was the Chinese government. Oh, well, then. Turns out it was part of a massive Chinese government campaign started around that time, 2014, to get information on State Department officials, U.S. intelligence agency officials, travel movements, that kind of thing. And, you know, you're just collateral damage, unless maybe you work for the CIA, in which case, sorry. So that's what the U.S. government has announced, that the Marriott hack, and that's the explain something that didn't happen with the Marriott hack that usually does happen. None of the information was posted on the dark net for sale. That's how you know. That's when you know, oh, it wasn't your run-of-the-mill hacker that got this stuff. It was somebody who had other motives than monetary. And apparently it was a Chinese government, you know, serious stuff, nation state hacking. There's going to be a lot more of that in 2019. Something to look forward to. So good to know. It's I guess useful. It's kind of like those credit monitoring apps. You know, they say, well, your name's on the dark web. Okay, now what? Nothing. Here's the takeaway. Don't reuse passwords. Because they're going to get leaked out. In fact, it's not a bad idea to every once in a while change your email address. Because that's going to get leaked out. It already has, almost certainly. And you can find out if you go to haveibeenpwned.com. And, of course, there's very few people will enter an email address that don't, you know, find their names in some of these databases. It's just, if you've been using that address for more than a year or two, almost certainly. And there's not much to do about it except not reuse passwords, because that's the real danger there. If somebody knowing your email address just means they can spam you. Do you get any spam? Oh, what a surprise. Join the club. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. I am going to go back to the calls. We'll talk more. Oh, Irvine and Rob says he didn't get a Christmas card. I'm sorry, our cards went out. They must have hacked the list. Oh, no. Ya-da-da-da. Every year is a year of the leaks. That's the problem with leaks. Hello, Chris Marquardt.
Hello, Leo.
Nice to see you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Festivus. Do you have your aluminum pole?
We do Festivus here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great celebration.
You have an email. We do an assignment reading.
Oh, yay. How exciting. All right.
The last assignment of the year.
I shall fire it up. Thank you, sir. See you in about 15 minutes. Well, those weren't alarm bells. They were sleigh bells. Oh, never mind. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number, line one, Jude in Virginia. Hi, Jude.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. Happy holidays.
Oh, happy Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us. Let the airing of grievances begin.
And having said that, I've been noticing today your fatherly, and I'm going to call it your Scrooge Ella is kind of cresting. I've heard you take some strong words, the strongly worded warning to a couple of your guests. That's so cute.
I'm usually nice to people, but I don't want them to get into trouble. And worse, I don't want them to get other people in trouble, right? So part of the value of you calling in, and I'm very grateful to every one of you who calls in, is I sometimes do use you as an example of what not to do.
and you have to. You really do. Yeah. It's part of, you know, I mean, you can't just show the brilliance that you are with all your tech. Oh. You have to balance it with the common sense.
That's right. That's right. No showing off allowed here.
Now you get to do all the showboating. Every once in a while, we get to catch the tailwind of that comment. Yeah,
I
love that.
I try not to.
So, I called to just basically wish you a happy Christmas, happy New Year, etc. And then I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, maybe I do have a
couple of questions.
You see? You see? They always come up. You're sitting there, you're thinking, you're driving around, doing a last-minute shopping, and suddenly it hits you. So what can I do for you?
Well, I want to first thank you. I called you about my iPad and my iPhone Siri problem. I'm the truck driver.
Oh, yeah.
The tanker driver.
So you're not doing shopping. You're working.
I am. I'm seeing nothing but the taillights.
Oh, Lord.
Man. Yeah. So I shut Siri off. So you helped me fix that problem. So
good.
Now when I say, hey, Siri, yeah, she only one of her talks to me.
That's good. Also, what a relief.
Amen. Really,
amen.
I was alarmed. So now I bought a Blink camera system for my home. And my mother's there using it. And,
nice.
I found some... Yeah, we like it. Are you familiar with it?
I haven't used it, but I'm certainly familiar with the name, yeah.
Okay, well, what I was wondering is if you were familiar with it on a more technical side, because I actually want to get it for my truck as well, but I honestly am not sure if it will work.
Well, as with all of these, you've got to have an internet connection. The Blinks are nice because they use batteries, so you don't have to have power, but you do have to have Wi-Fi.
Well, the only Wi-Fi would be coming from Siri, from my iPhone, you know?
Yeah, so you'd have to leave your iPhone in hotspot mode. That honestly is not going to be ideal because you're going to get out of the car and stuff, right? Unless you plan to leave it in the cab. Are you going to leave it in the cab?
Well, I mean, obviously I've got the iPad, so if I hook it up to my iPad...
So that's the thing. Obviously, there's no point in a camera system if you're in the cab. It's for when you're not there.
Right.
So if there were a way for you to keep it constantly online, like leaving an iPad with LTE built in there and on, yeah, that'd work.
All right.
Yeah, that'd work.
I mean, there's a couple of different reasons. I would use it in the cab.
But I would look at something a little less expensive that I've become kind of a fan of because they're so inexpensive, is the Wyze Cams, W-Y-Z-E. And you get it at wyzecam.com. The one you probably would want is $20. It's a fixed camera, but they also have one that pans, that would look around. Ooh, wow, they've got a new one with a little arm that goes up, wow! They're very inexpensive. They're inexpensive for two reasons. One, they just don't cost much. But two, there's no subscription involved.
I love that.
Yeah, because that's where they get all of these guys get you. Yeah, the Blink Cam's $99, but then you have to pay for a subscription because it's uploading the images to the internet. The Wyze Cam, for some reason, doesn't charge you, and it will look around, which is nice. So you can look. It'll actually look outside your cab. If you've got mirrors, it could even see what's in your mirrors. So it's $20. The Wyze Cam V2. And now here's the key. It is not a battery powered one, but it only needs 5 volts USB. So if you've got a USB, and I know you do, a USB charger in your truck, you just plug that in. And it would still, as with anything, it's going to need the internet. So you are going to have to leave something with an internet connection in the cab. But I love these, and they're $20.
Okay, I like that.
And no subscription. Yeah. I've given these to a number of people as gifts. Don't tell them they're cheap. Oh, you gave me a security camera. Aren't you sweet? Oh, yeah, and the subscription. I've taken care of it for life. Don't even worry about it. You can.
It's frugal, but why go broke?
Why go broke? Now, if you don't care about getting notifications after you leave your truck, if you just want a record of what happened, you don't even need internet on these. You could put a little micro SD card in there, and it will record it, and you can get it after the fact. The only drawback to that is if the guy breaks into your cab and steals the camera, you'll have no record. That's kind of a small...
I want it on the inside of the camera, but I also, can you add multiples?
Yeah, you can have as many as you want. Now, what about a dash cam? Don't you have a dash cam?
Well, the company installs a dash cam.
Yeah, but you don't have access to it, do you? Yeah,
exactly. And I was going to buy, I was at the Menards and I picked up a dash cam, but I really and truly thought, you know what, this is not going to work for me. If I was bicycle riding, I would probably like that. But
I use, now it's not cheap.
but I use something from Owl, owlcam.com. It has LTE built in, and it gets its power from the OBD2 port. So it's a very easy camera to put in a car, and I presume that you I don't know, but I presume your truck has an OBD2 port as well, the onboard diagnostic port. If it's unoccupied, you plug it into that for power, which means it gets consistent power even when the truck is off. All the time. Yeah, it has LTE. It has, and this is what I like about the Owl. It has a forward-facing camera and a rear-facing camera. So it gets both what you're going towards and what's in the cab. And it has big, bright lights that come on. So if there's glass break or a sudden judder, the lights will come on and it will record what's in the... Oh, are you all right?
No, I'm like, uh-huh. No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you ran into something. Okay.
No.
Ah! I thought I heard. Ah! Okay. So that's a little more expensive. Yeah, that's a little more expensive. I think they're $300, but I really like this Owl cam. This is my favorite dash cam, and because it has LTE, it will also notify you. So if you get out, you go, you're going to have some hash and corned beef hash and eggs at the truck stop, and somebody kind of bangs on your truck, it'll get a video of them and send it to you immediately.
Well, it's happened a few times, and being that I'm female and alone very often.
I don't blame you. I would absolutely have a camera.
Yeah, and I want it separate from the company's records.
Yes.
Because, you know,
yes.
When I'm sitting there, and, they're not recording anything while I'm sitting there.
No. Look at the Owl cam. Look at the Owl cam. I think for you, I have one in my car all the time. And I think for you, it's great. If something happens and you want a recording of it, it's recording all the time. It'll save the last 30 seconds, and the next 30 seconds, you have to say, okay, presto, and then it's done. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Happy holidays, Jude.
Happy holidays, Leo.
Drive safely. Do you have to work tomorrow, too?
I am working tomorrow and Christmas, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's why I do what I do, because I can. You know, I don't have family that I have to attend to, so.
And you have some freedom, which is nice. You're kind of like the modern day cowboy.
That's right.
Riding the range.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I mean, you know, I go to work on Christmas and.
Do you have a little tree? Do you have a tree in the cab?
I haven't bothered to do any decorations or anything yet. I'm not there yet. I'm still in adjustment mode because I jump from position to position, location to location. So now I'm based out of Pennsylvania now on my way to Virginia.
Yikes.
Carrying liquid tanker. Yeah, so,
yikes.
You know what? Moving all the time, it's like I got to get reset up. It's like that bah humbug spirit is almost on.
I don't blame you. Maybe that's what you're running from. Maybe you don't want to celebrate the darn Christmas. Just get an aluminum pole. Do a Festivus thing. Show them feats of strength.
As soon as I stop, I'm going to have to erect my Festivus pole.
Yes, that's right. We have one here. We actually have a Festivus pole, yes, to celebrate. Jude, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Have a wonderful holiday. Drive safe. If you ever get out to the West Coast, you have to come by.
I certainly will.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
Take care, Jude.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Better take a picture. It'll last longer. Chris Marquardt's going on a walkabout to New Zealand for the next month. It's great to see you, Chris.
Drive-about.
Are you excited?
Oh, totally, totally. This is my first time in the Southern Hemisphere.
What?
Believe it or not. Yeah, believe it or not.
I think you're going to love it. First of all, it's summertime. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be beautiful weather.
We'll arrive on the North Island and then make our way down to the south, and we'll spend almost 6 weeks there.
So we'll miss you, but Chris will be back. What we'll do is a 2-month photo assignment is what we'll do, because then he's going to do workshop in Norway, and you'll be back, what, in February or March?
I guess you'll be back. Early March. First weekend in March.
We're talking about March 2019. It sounds like the future. Yes. Well, it is, technically.
It is.
Not the distant future, but...
It is.
So we had a photo assignment. Let's wrap this sucker up. It was Ring.
Yeah, Ring. I was still going with clothing related items. So ring was the assignment. We have some participation. I think people are kind of busy, Christmas busy, holiday busy.
We
so
got
not
like, what,
as many as
a dozen or 20 photos, not a whole lot of submissions.
Yeah, that range. So yeah. Let's see. Maybe if we give them time until early March, we'll
good.
Have something. The next one
good.
Is going to be an interesting one again. So I picked three photos out of the ring assignment. And the first one is by KG6S212013. And the image name is DJI _0009-1.
Okay, clearly this is a robot we're talking here.
Sort of. Well, it is at least what – let's call him KG. KG used a robot to take the photo because
– Oh, it's a drone
it
shot.
Is,
yeah.
It's a drone shot. It's an aerial shot straight down from above onto a ring-shaped circular driveway. So
it's kind of cool. I like it. Yeah.
The reason I picked it is kind of cool because what these drones do, well, we all know them from a video context, but they're also quite capable of shooting stills and they're also quite capable of shooting raw these days. So you can do quite a lot with the photos. And just the change in perspective,
mm-hmm.
straight down onto something, changes mm-hmm. everything,
yep.
gives things such a geometric quality. And that comes out here really well. And then he or she decided to make this a black and white photo. So you only have the shapes and the different shades of gray. And yeah, I like this.
When you have geometric shapes in a shot, I think it's interesting to do it in black and white because then you're not distracted by other details like colors. You see the geometry really shines.
Right. The other thing that KG did is... the main part of the geometry, the thing that this is about, is in the center, straight in the middle. And that feels good. It feels right at this point because mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. also what it's about. And this is what the assignment was about. So, yeah, this works for me.
It's a ring driveway. All right. Thank you, KG.
It is. The second one, Larry sent in a photo that he apparently took while taking other photos. And the title is Flare Rings. And he puts in the description, Waiting for Sunset at Bodega Head. And what we see is it's not an art piece. It's more a documentation kind
it's
of shot.
It's the green flash. I've spent my whole life at sunset trying to see the green flash.
Not,
oh, it's not?
That is not the green flash.
Okay, never mind.
No, but... what we see is some cliffs or some place at the sea. We see the sea out there. We see the sun almost at the horizon. There's a tripod, so clearly Larry's waiting for the sunset there. And he's taking this photo and shoots straight into the sun. And what happens, it's a technical shot. And what you see is green circles, rings of sort, kind of under the sun. And I get these questions often. Now the question is that, okay, clearly that's lens reflections, lens flare, which is when light sources, really strong light sources like the sun, reflect inside the lens because there are multiple layers of glass and they all have surfaces that stuff can reflect from. It is also possible that this is not inside the lens, but maybe Larry's using a camera to take that shot that has a protective glass filter on the front or a UV filter, because those are often the culprit when it comes to these reflected flare kind of things. I get questions about these, especially around this time of the year when you have trees up with a lot of little lights and things and people take pictures and then they have all these little ghost lights in
yeah.
between the actual
yeah.
lights.
Yeah.
And I usually tell them, take that filter off, and then those things are gone.
So, unless you want the effect.
Unless you want the effect, but most of the time people are more confused
where
that? This is coming from.
What is
yeah,
that?
What is that? Especially as those coatings on those filters, they add a bit of a tint. In this case, you get green. Sometimes you also get like a purple color cast on them. So yeah, if that's what you get in your photo, take the filter off because it often causes more harm than it does good.
So in this case, our picture is a lesson learned.
It's a lesson, yes.
And finally...
And the last one, last but not least, Alan has a photo of his keys. Now, there are two reasons I'm picking this.
It's a key ring. I get it.
Well, it's a key ring. It's simple. No, but that's not the main reason I was picking those. Two reasons. First of all, I like the contrasts. I like the black and white and very strong, very like distinctive contrasts. That's what I want in a black and white photo. The other is a word of caution.
Mm-mm.
Putting pictures of keys online.
Oh, yeah. People can make them.
It is now possible to take a photo of a key and make this into a replica.
That's how the super secret TSA key, you know, every lock you get at the airport where only the TSA can open it. Well, guess what?
And
everybody has it.
Especially when keys have a standardized size, and that's often the case in the United States. Here in Germany, we have like all different sorts of things, but there's more standardization in the U.S. So anyone with that photo could potentially... So, Alan, don't put your address online.
Because if that's your house key, you've been pwned.
Or maybe... I don't know what key that is, but taking a key...
That's a
taking
good
a photo
point.
Of a key. Yeah. There are now machines online where you can like prepare a file on your computer and bring it to that machine, and it spits out a key for you. So
that's what happened with that TSA key. They got some
gotta be careful.
Some security guys, you know, with the key, and they got some pictures, and they were able to zoom in.
They 3D printed them,
and they make them.
Yep.
And so that lock you put on your suitcase. Well, the good news is only bad guys have the key now. So.
Yeah.
Chris Marquardt, you are going to be missed. If you want, if you need,
assignment.
If you, yeah, hold on a second. If you need a hit, though, go to discoverthetopfloor.com. Chris's photos will be there. I hope we'll see some New Zealand photos. I know we'll see some Norway photos, and we'll see you back here in March. That gives us 2 months for the next photo assignment. And what is it?
Well, we're still along the lines of clothing or something else. You can interpret this in any way you like. There are lots of ways to interpret this. The word is suit.
Suit. Oh, I have a suit
S-U-I-T.
For you.
S-U-I-T.
Suit. So. Could be lawsuit or could be a suit of clothes.
Playing cards could be suits. Anything.
Lots of ideas. So here's the deal. You take a picture illustrating that word or concept, upload it to Flickr, submit it to our tech guy group. Make sure you use the tag. Suits. Thank you, Chris. Happy holidays. Merry
you too,
Christmas.
Bye-bye.
How do you say Merry Christmas in German?
Schöne Weihnachten.
Like he said. Schöne Weihnachten. Have a great Christmas. Have a wonderful time in New Zealand, too. I think you're going to have a great time. That's awesome.
I will. I'll bring stuff with me.
Take pictures. You don't have to take them professionally.
I'll take pictures.
You know, you could do what I did. You could send out photo cards to your friends and family.
Oh, that's what I do all the time.
Yeah. I use the Bill Atkinson's photo card app.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
It's a nice thing to do. Yeah. Good. All right.
It's the best.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great time Christmas and a great trip and a great vacation.
See you March.
See you in March. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care to you.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Jimmy Durante, of course, it wouldn't be Christmas without Jimmy Durante. 8888 Ask Leo Line 4, Chi-Town Deke. Hello, Chicago.
Hey, Leo, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Blessed. Just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Festivus.
Thank you. For the rest of us, thank you.
That's it.
Yep.
Before I get to my question, I'm going to keep it quick. I do want to thank you. You helped me out about 2 years ago, deciding on whether or not I wanted to get a new TV or not because of the, you know, you just watch my football games and seeing the trail of the footballs was bothering me.
Oh, I don't blame you. That's yuck.
Yeah, I did get a 4K about 6 months later. I've been happy as can be.
I am so glad to hear it.
And so I like to thank you for that. But on to my question.
Yes.
Since, you know, things are so expensive, getting a new computer and whatnot, I'm trying to breathe life into my older systems.
Yes.
And I want to put a M.2 SSD in it.
Okay.
By using an adapter. Now, I did decide to go with a SATA 3 instead of an NV
NVMe. If you're going to use, if you want to do that, I would just get, I mean, you can, if you want, get M.2. It's more expensive. It is basically it looks like an expansion card, not like a hard drive. It looks like maybe a memory module or something. It's a little smaller than that. But it has to, and you have to have that special slot that it goes in, so your motherboard will have to have that. It can be very, very fast if it's on PCI Express, but it doesn't have to be. If you're going to put it on SATA 3, which you know, some depends on, you know, what you've got, in that case, you may not want to spend all that money on getting an M.2 drive and just get maybe a Samsung 950 EVO or something like that, because then you're going to have, I don't think... Now, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room. I don't think an M.2 drive is faster than, say, a Samsung Evo by an appreciable amount. It's faster because of the bus. If it's on PCI, then it's going to be faster. But if you're putting it on SATA 3, I think you might as well just get an Evo and save some. I think you'll save money. Right? Okay. At least I'd look at that. You also have to get an adapter, right? Does your motherboard support?
Yeah, I did do that. I did get the adapter.
All right.
It's from Invitech. Let's see. I got it right here.
How expensive was that?
About $19 from Micro Center.
All right. That's not too bad. And it'll connect to the SATA 3 port on your motherboard.
Right. Exactly. And the good thing about this one, I can either have either of them. They have a slot for both.
Oh, perfect. So it's got, you know, you got some future. If you get a new system, you can move it over to that. It also, I mean, the other advantage of M.2 is it's very compact. I mean, it's the size of a MacBook. So that's a lot smaller than any 2.5-inch solid-state drive. So there's an advantage there. You don't have to take up room in the... It's a tower case?
It's a what?
Tower case?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And the only thing about it, I mean, they great to tell you to do that, but how do I actually make it into a boot drive with the older systems? Because every motherboard is different.
Well,
I'm trying to find out, well, where do I go, or maybe... People in the chat room may know because I've been logged on.
I think if I think all you got to do to make it a boot drive is tell the setup. I used to call it BIOS. Remember those days? It's not BIOS anymore, but tell the setup. It's like the BIOS setup. You know, you press the escape or delete a F12, whatever, to get into it. And you tell it what boot order to use. And you just say, I want you to boot off of this SATA port, you know, SATA 1 or SATA 2 or SATA 0. I think by default, It will do the SATA connections in order. So if you have, you can move your drives around in that tower to connect the M.2 card to your SATA 0. It should boot from that without any settings. But it's easy enough to change the boot order in the BIOS settings. So I think that's all it would take to do that. A SATA drive is a SATA drive. It doesn't know that it's some fancy damn next generation small form factor doohickey. It just has to say, well, is there a drive there? Oh, there is. Let's boot to it. Now, the next step, of course, is getting your operating system on there, and you have two choices. You can either clone your existing boot drive onto it, and that's going to take some swapping of drives around, things like that. You'll have to boot to the original and use a clone program. There's a variety of those you can do that'll just make a sector-by-sector clone of the boot drive onto the M.2. Then you'll swap it and put the M.2 in the SATA 0 port, that kind of thing. You may also, Mike in the chat room is saying, you may have an option in your setup for bootable add-in cards. I haven't ever seen that. You do, I think if it's in a PCI Express, if it's an M.2 slot, a PCI Express slot, in that case, I have seen motherboards, we had a Gigabyte motherboard that you had to tell it, I want to boot from this M.2 slot, because that's a different place. But SATA, it's just going to look like a regular drive. I don't know if you'll have to do anything particular to that. Have fun. I think that's a nice upgrade. Jason in Richmond, Virginia, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Leo. Just wanted to quickly say I really appreciate what you do for everybody as far as keeping us up to date and knowledgeable about tech.
Well, it's kind of a two-way street. I mean, the sheer terror of going on the air here and answering questions keeps me up to date.
Yes, sir.
It's like, oh, my God, I better know what I'm talking about.
But if anybody has any interest in anything in technology, go to Leo's network.
Thank you.
You'll be amazed at what's out there.
Thank you. Yeah, I have great people who work with me there. Yeah. What can I do for you? Thank
yes,
you
sir.
For the kind words.
Sure. I've had an iPhone 6 since it initially was released. And I'm on my third one now, and I keep having an issue where the battery keeps bloating. Now, I'm always using MFI accessories, pretty much anchor cables, and I don't know why this...
It shouldn't keep happening. As I mentioned earlier, a swelling lithium-ion battery is dangerous. I'm sure Apple replaces it each time, right?
Yeah, well, a couple, they always replace it, but once free, another time I had to pay.
I mean, they start charging you after a while. The $29 battery replacement program ends at the end of the month.
I don't think I'll qualify because they say, the phone's damaged, you know?
Yeah, you may not.
So that's
maybe it's time for a new phone. I know what your question is. Why? And I just don't know. That is not
a new phone, so it's not even the same phone.
Yeah, it's not typical. It's not typical. I can only think maybe there's – does it get really hot? Do you leave it on the dashboard of your car? Are you an Uber driver? Is there something going on that's unusual?
Nope, I'm a voiceover user, so I better not be driving Uber.
You'll be able to. The time is coming.
I can't wait, let me tell you.
I know. If you're blind, I mean, the whole idea of having self-driving vehicles, it's freedom.
You don't even know. Yeah.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah, nothing unusual. I mean, I keep them plugged in, but as you know, that should be an issue.
I would be careful about what charger you're using.
And I'm just using an anchor, four-port, and the anchor cables. That's it.
Maybe use the original charger. It shouldn't happen. I mean, lithium-ion battery swelling is dangerous, as I said, and there are many protections in iPhones to keep it from happening. I don't know why it keeps happening. I would ask Apple and get it escalated. Say, this is the third time, dude. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It could just be bad luck.
and I know there was a series of issues with the 6s, I believe, that had that, similar problem.
Yeah.
Weird.
Is there a reason you're sticking with the 6?
No, I just hadn't had a need to upgrade. You know, it just nothing was compelling to me. And now I probably want to get the XR.
The problem is you're going to lose a headphone jack. I mean, my mom will not leave her 6S. She just got the battery upgrade for $29 because she loves the headphone jack. I keep saying, Mom, I'll send you a new one.
Yep.
She says, nope, not giving up the headphone jack. I love my iPhone 6S.
Yeah, and I finally probably am okay with upgrading in terms of, what the... 10
I think
is, but
you probably what you got to do is get a friendly rep.
Yes, sir.
And maybe even go into the Apple store if there's one near you. If it's not
there is.
Yeah. And say, look, dude, this is the third time it's swollen. I'm blind. This is a really important device for me.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not doing anything unusual.
Yep.
I think the genius at the Apple store certainly has the power to do this. And I think he should give you a new 6S.
Yeah. And I would be fine with just, because I know if it's in good condition, I can get $150 towards the new phone.
He should give you just grant you a phone.
Yeah.
And I think they'll want to do that. So even, don't do this meanly. Do it. And I know you're not going to because you're a nice guy. You could even say, though, gosh, I don't know what's going on. I even called the radio show, the nationally syndicated radio show about it.
That Leo guy.
And he didn't know what's going on either, but he said, bring it to Apple because I think they would care a lot about this happening because it's dangerous. And, I really wish I had a new phone. Hint, hint.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
Wink, wink. nudge,
no,
nudge.
Say no more.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I honestly think they should give you a new phone and not a 6.
Yep. Yep, I'll definitely.
It's in their interest. If that thing were to burst, swell and burst into flame,
I could go blind.
You could get blinded by it.
That would be
shocking.
Yeah,
you should say. You know what? The last time this happened, I went blind. No, that's a. You might get a new phone though. I don't know. It depends, on your stomach and your stomach for fibbing.
Yeah. That's,
no, but in all seriousness, that is always dangerous when these swell.
And I agree.
I've heard that, they should jump. They should really jump, I think. And honestly, if it's happened 3 times and it's a known problem with a 6, for crying out loud, give them a 6S or a 7.
Yeah. And I'm willing to upgrade to the 10R.
Well, you shouldn't have to pay anything, but maybe what he'll, bring him a box of candy, say, hey, happy holidays. I know you're working. And then let me tell you my problem. And then
you know, at he has the power to do this. I want you to know that.
Very true.
They have a lot of power. They are, you know, their managers will look at them if they do it too often, but they have the power. So what you want to do is kind of sweet talk them into something, maybe $200 for a 10R or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good. You know, I'll give it a try. It's not going to hurt anything.
No.
And I know you're a busy man, but let me just say I'm very intrigued on your what your experience has been with the Helm server. I was really excited when you came on your show, and I'm really kind of wanting to do that.
It's an they're of an interesting position,
yeah.
Because what they want to do is make a home email server for dummies.
Yep,
it isn't. And that's the real – and there's I don't know if there's any way to make a home email server for dummies. It's not too bad.
No.
I made a mistake, and I'm trying to backtrack it right now. I assigned it my main email address. But there's a problem with doing that because I have so much mail going through it. I have lots of rules that are server-side that they don't yet support Civ. But even more importantly, a website is tied to it. Keybase proofs are tied to it. It was a mistake. So what I said is, you know what? I just want to do an email only thing with this.
Sure.
And if you just want to have in fact, what I did is I got a special address that's just for email.
Right.
That I'm going to use with it. That would work fine. And the setup is fairly easy. It is on your phone.
Yep.
I think it would work fine on VoiceOver. It's a fairly straightforward app.
What I'm wondering. Okay.
Yeah. It's a fairly straightforward
cost to spend on and find out that it isn't. But yeah.
Well, I understand. I think the security angle is really good. I mean, they encrypt it with strong crypto, and then there's a USB key. You might have seen it on the show. There's a USB key you put in there. It puts your private key on it, and you lock that away.
Yep.
All the data is then encrypted. So even though they're backing it up, only that private key can unlock it. So that's good. They solve all the problems. I mean, it's too hard to do a home email server in general because ISP addresses are almost always blocked. For a spam, for anti-spam measures, they do it all right. And it worked beautifully.
Okay.
It's just I realized, but I'm losing too many things that I can't do with it.
Okay.
But the other thing I really believe, and after talking to Gary, is that they really are going to expand its capabilities in some very interesting ways.
My situation's identical to your guest host, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm with GoDaddy, and I want to get, my email out of there. And keep in mind, for what it's worth, if you give me a little slack, I signed up with them before
Oh, no, I have GoDaddy. I had all my addresses were on GoDaddy. No.
I mean, I've been with them for 15 years, and when I signed up, I didn't realize my email is kind of
– Yeah, nobody knew. Nobody knew.
So it's like, I don't know. It's like, am I going to be able to get my email out of there? That's what I'm kind of concerned about.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first thing you do on the Helm server is it sets up a POP account to your old address and downloads all your mail over to it.
Oh.
And that worked beautifully. That took maybe a few hours because there was a lot of mail on it. There's a couple of things. If they add Civ capabilities, because that's server-side filtering, I don't want to do the filtering locally. But remember, my email's cuckoo. But I'm going to use just a regular email address for this and use it for a secure email server for secure email, like account authentication, stuff like that. And I think that's a really good use for it. So,
and I have addresses on there for a family member. So it's, mylastname.net.
Yeah. So I do that too. And that was another issue with GoDaddy and with Hover, which is what I use. They just bounce it. I never see it. With this, you'd have to use IMAP rules to bounce it. They don't yet have a way to bounce it.
Okay.
So what would happen is the mail would come to you, and then you would forward it to them.
Okay.
That was another stopping point for me. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, and my renewal is coming up in February, so I'm just like, I got to figure out,
Well, I got it really quickly. I think I'm very interested in what they're up to. I think they're going to get better. I think they're going to have a hard time because it's not like completely turnkey. Like Gmail is completely turnkey, but it's not secure.
Right.
Right. Or it's not insecure, but your mail's stored with Google unencrypted. Mm-hmm. This is completely secure, but it's not. You do everything. One of the ways they make it secure, and I didn't really fully understand this with Gary, but you have to have a physical address in proximity to the server to get it set up, a physical device. So that uses Bluetooth. So you have to be next to the server to get it set up, which is good.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Somebody can't hack your server because they're not standing next to it.
Right.
So I really like that. I think in many ways they've They've solved a lot of problems. And I think I trust them that they're going to solve more.
Yeah, I've read a lot about it, and I read the full article from ours. So
go and read the I first learned about it on Hacker News, and Hacker News had a long thread. Gary participated in it about the pros and cons, and I thought that was very good. I'd read that, too.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for all your time, Leo. You're doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
Have a great Christmas.
Thank you,
sir.
Jason. Merry Christmas. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, hello. Hey. How are you today? Ho, I should say. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's Festivus for the rest of us. I hope you're having a wonderful Festivus. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Festivus, if you've heard me and you're wondering, what is he talking about? See, the geeks know. It's an imaginary holiday created on the Seinfeld TV show by George Costanza's dad. It's apparently a Costanza family tradition the geeks have embraced. It's always on the 23rd. It's for people who are kind of grumpy and scroogey, I think. It involves, instead of a Christmas tree, a Festivus pole, which is a long, undecorated aluminum pole upright in the living room. There are the traditional airing of grievances and the feats of strength. So happy Festivus. And this show really is the airing of grievances, isn't it? 8888 Ask Leo. Let's go to George, Marietta, California. Hello, George.
Hello. I'm calling from Marietta, Georgia.
Georgia. All right. It's a G-A, not a C-A. Welcome.
Well, it's the last time I called from Palmdale. I live up in the Mojave Desert.
Oh, nice. So you know both.
Yes. We talked about Al Gall and Fortran.
My old programmer buddy.
Yeah, well, I returned to the scene of the crime for Christmas.
Happy Christmas. That's nice.
Exactly. Be that as it may, I called about scareware.
Yes.
I got an interesting email, and if I wasn't in the habit of checking my spam filter, I'd have never found it.
Yeah.
And it's an email message that it has as the address from which the message was sent is my email address.
Yes.
Plus, it has my password in it.
Yes. Yes. So, we were talking about this earlier in the show. I got the same thing. Now, the password you got, I hope, is not one you're widely using. It's an old one, I hope.
Correct. And I've changed passwords and taken other steps. But
for me, it was a really old one. So we've talked about this earlier. The problem is these passwords and your email address have all been leaked many, many times through Equifax, the Yahoo breach of 3 billion accounts, and on and on and on. So bad guys have access to giant virtually billions of email addresses and some random password associated with that address. And what they do is they send out mail. Usually the password's in the subject. Your password is Monkey123. I went, well, it used to be. What are they?
How'd you know?
So you read the email, and it says, hi, I know it's really scareware is a very good term for it, because what it says is, I recorded you watching porn, and I'm going to send a video out to all your friends unless you send me $200 in Bitcoin. There's a couple of problems with this. One, it's an old password. Two, they haven't hacked you. Three, good luck getting Bitcoin. In the email, the one I got anyway, and I think this is the most common one, it said, if you don't know what Bitcoin is, follow this link and read up on it. So,
right. Yeah,
just ignore it. It is absolutely scareware. Let me explain. It's no big deal. They don't have anything that you care about as long as you don't continue to use that same password everywhere. If it's an old password you haven't used in ages, that's fine. If it's a password that's current and you're using it on multiple sites, you would be very wise to go out and change it because that password's out in the world. Now, what I mentioned last hour, 2 hours ago, is a website called haveibeenpwned.com.
Yes.
Yeah, Troy Hunt's great password. If you go to haveibeenpwned.com, enter your email address, you'll see all the places it is. In my case, 21 breaches, because I've been using this email address for a long time. I bet you have, too. And the in many of those breaches, the passwords were also leaked out. It is nothing to worry about. There are plenty of spam email programs that will take an email, make it the sending email as well as the receiving email, and send out millions at a time. And that's all they're doing. Just ignore it.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the one thing they did say was they were going to report publicly the porn sites that I had visited.
Yeah, they don't know.
And I thought, wow, I'm sure we did. Yeah, come on down, share.
I'd like to get some new ones. Thank you. No, it's scareware, literally. It's designed to so terrify you that you immediately take action. It is not real. I'm going to put in the show notes a really good article about this exact stuff. I'm trying to remember if it's Krebs on Security. I think it is. And he actually has the texts of the email he got. It's the same exact one I got. And he explains how it happens. It is absolutely nothing to worry about. You're not alone. But it is absolutely a very good idea, I think, use this as an excuse to make sure that you have unique passwords for every site you visit, that you use a password manager to generate those passwords and remember them, that you don't use that password, because that one is well known, not just to this sextortion emailer, but to everybody else. And so it's no longer a secure password. The email that he got says, "You don't know me, and you're thinking why you received this email, right? Well, I actually placed a malware on the porn website, and guess what? You visited this website to have fun. You know what I mean. While you were watching the video, your web browser asked, is this all familiar?" I got the same one.
Apparently I've missed out on a lot.
You missed life. I made a split screen video. First part recorded the video you were viewing. You've got fine taste, haha. The next part recorded your webcam. What should you do? Well, I believe $1,400. I forgot. I underestimated the price. $1,400 is a fair price for our little secret. Use Bitcoin to pay me. You have 20. Now this is where they get you. You have 24 hours to make the payment. If you don't get the payment, I'll send your video to all of your contacts, including relatives, coworkers, and so forth. I wonder how well this works. I bet you whoever sends this out, remember this, they'll probably send out 100 million of these a day. They probably get they probably make a decent amount of money. People get scared.
Yeah, and I think you're doing a public service by, alerting us neophytes to.
Yeah. It's scary, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called.
Quick things.
Yes, go ahead.
My financial keeper of my children's money recommended something called VIP Access.
I'm not familiar with that. Let me just see if I can find out something.
So when I log in, it says, "Hello, nice to see you. Oh, by the way," and then this.
Oh, this VIP is a Symantec. This is a Symantec thing. The theory of this, and I don't know this one specifically. Google does something similar. Essentially two-factor authentication. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. So the idea is you have more than one way that you need to log in the first time you go to somewhere, like a bank. Most banks offer this too. It usually involves both your password and something either texted to you, which is the least secure method. What Symantec does is a little bit more secure. They actually send a pop-up to your phone, I think. That would be the best way to do it. You don't want text messages only because somebody can spoof your phone number. It's a fairly common practice, I'm sorry to say. People call your cell phone company and say, "Oh, man," a very common one would be, "Oh, man, this is George's wife." And they play a video of YouTube in the background of a baby crying. George just left town, and I'm desperate to get in. He left his phone, or he lost his phone, and he wants me. Can you send us a new SIM card?" Well, somehow they get the guy to send him a SIM card for your phone number. Now, when the text message comes out, it goes to you and them. And that's why don't use text messaging for two-factor authentication. But that's not what Symantec does. Symantec is using push authentication requests, which is a very good way to do it.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for the education. And one final request while on hold. You were singing Christmas carols.
Don't do that again. I know.
No. Oh. Share it with your nationwide audience.
Oh, you're very kind. George, that's the first time anybody's asked me to sing. Thank you, George. Happy holidays. Happy Festivus, too. Take care. Leah Lepore. I promise I won't. 8888 Ask Leo. Phone number. Website. I didn't mention it. It's free. TechGuyLabs.com. More of your calls right after this. Nobody interrupts Mariah. Nobody. Leo Lepore, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Ken in Merced, California. I'm liking the Christmas music this year. I think Big Pee Wee deserves a big hand.
Hello, Leo.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Oh, Merry Festivus.
Merry Festivus.
Yeah, I got a Chromecast, but I'm afraid the thing just died. When you push that button on the side, it's one of the old-fashioned little hockey puck-like.
Yeah.
And when you push that button on the side, when you have it plugged into an HDMI port, isn't the reset button supposed to make a light flash somewhere?
Boy, it's been a long time since I've used that old Chromecast. You have it plugged into power, right? You got it on USB power.
Yeah, I've got it plugged into an HP computer. I plugged it into the back of the TV. I didn't get anything there either because that's where I used to use it.
A lot of TVs have USB ports, and if you can... Yeah, now, I think the key is to press it and hold it, right? Not just press it, but press it and hold it until you see a light blinking. I think that, as I remember, that's how... That will, by the way, set it up from scratch if that's what you want to do.
I'm doing that right now, and I'm not getting anything.
Yes.
I've been holding it the whole time you were saying that.
Okay, it's dead. Yeah, you should see an orange light flickering while it's rebooting.
All right.
So yeah. You need a new one. The good news is the $35, and the new ones are frankly a heck of a lot better than the old ones.
I hope so.
Yep. They're not pucks anymore. They look like USB keys that plug into the HDMI port.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's just... I mean, if you think about it, it's a little device. It gets pretty hot, if you've never noticed. I wouldn't be surprised.
I never went back there and held it.
Yeah,
while
it gets pretty hot. So I think that's
okay. Well, the other one I had was about these zip drives.
Yeah, zip drives. Wait a minute, zip drives? Holy cow.
Yeah, see, now, my long time ago, I bought an e-machine.
Yeah.
That's how foolish I was.
I remember the e-machines. Oh, yeah.
It had an internal zip drive.
Yeah.
It came with one.
Yeah.
And I was recording a lot of my photographs and everything and putting them on the zip drives.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, some of them started going bad. And I understand that you said that if you took one that was good and put it in that.
Oh, this is a trip down memory lane. You're talking about the click of death. This is almost 20 years ago.
But then I got an external one that put in a USB port. Now, this e-machine is so old, it never even had a USB port.
Yeah, so if you... what happened with zip drives... Man, I'm glad these are gone. What happened at the time... Remember, these were a whopping 100 megabytes on one disk. Holy cow, how do they do it? You may remember, when they went bad, the way they would sometimes go bad is actually with a media problem that could actually propagate to the next drive and make it bad. So you would actually, we called it the click of death because it would kill the drives as you went through drives. So if that's what's going on, absolutely, you don't want to. Here's my friend Steve Gibson has a whole thing on this, and I think it's still at his site, grc.com. He was the one who first told us about the click of death back in 1999 on the old screensavers. Can you still find zip disks?
Oh, I don't need to find any more. I'm not going to use those again.
No, please don't. Yeah.
I get them off of the. I want to get the pictures off whatever I can get.
Right.
And put them onto a USB key or something like that.
Well,
a little flash.
You only have one zip drive, right? So it's not really, you don't have to really worry about.
No, actually, I bought another one that plugged into a USB port, and I plugged some of them into there.
Well,
but
I would read about the click of death before you go too much farther, just to make sure you don't have it. He has a little sound file on there that'll tell you what it sounds like.
Well, what sounds like.
Yeah, there's a sound of the click of death. It goes click, click, click. That's why they call it the click of death.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't know if that's what it is. You said you just can't read the disc. Is that all?
It doesn't do anything. Yeah. Like I said, I haven't played with it in so long.
It could just be
messing with it because you said that a long time ago, and I went,
yeah.
Maybe I should.
It's much more likely. It's that thing is 20 years old. It's probably.
Did it contaminate? Like I said, I
don't know.
One
I don't know.
Into a USB port.
I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes at techguylabs.com to Steve Gibson's Click of Death article. It'll tell you a little bit about what it is, what causes it. I feel like he wrote a program. I think he did, called Trouble in Paradise. I think that was it, that would diagnose it. I'm not an expert in this anymore. It's 20 years ago. But, it could actually, believe it or not, contaminate another drive. That was the real fear. In most cases, that's not what's going on. I think what it was, as I remember, is the media inside the zip disk would get damaged by one drive, and then it would damage subsequent drives you tried to read it in. But go to grc.com, read up on the Click of Death. I think you'll find what you need there. I'm sure you will. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More to come right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So chat room is telling me, and I guess Rich DeMuro tweeted it, and I'm going to pass this along to you, but I don't know if I credit it or not. But because it's being reported by Forbes. Forbes used to be a nice, reliable financial magazine. And then they started letting just about anybody write pieces for Forbes without vetting them particularly. I don't know if they're being paid or what. But you just don't know when you click a link on a Forbes article if it's legitimate journalism or some sort of bogus piece of fake news, honestly. And it's especially true when it comes to Apple stories. There are a couple of people who write for Forbes who just don't seem to like Apple very much. So this story from Forbes, I'm going to pass it along to you and be aware of it. According to Forbes, Apple put out on Monday a version, an upgrade to iOS on Monday, of this last Monday, a week ago. To 12.1.2. I installed it. Everybody I know installed it. Nobody's had any problems. Except according to Forbes, there's a serious bug in this version of iOS that's breaking cellular data for some people around the world. Apple said it happened in Turkey, but apparently it's happening elsewhere. Have you lost connectivity? I'd love to know if you have after installing 12.1.2. Apple released a second version of 12.1.2 on Thursday. I still have the original version. I just checked. You can check your version number of your iPhone. And then the thing about Apple and iPhones is people tend to upgrade right away. When there's an update, they do it. And it's not always perfect. There have been times when Apple has, in fact, broken cellular connectivity and among other things with an update. The version of 12.1.2 I have is 16C101. On Thursday, they pushed out another update, 16C104. I don't know if that fixes this problem. I don't know if Forbes is overblowing a small problem. I haven't heard from anybody. I don't know anybody who's had this problem. It is always important to run these updates when you can, when they're offered, because they often have security impact. Maybe you'd be prudent. Just, you know, why jeopardize your connectivity as we're coming close to the holidays? To wait, hold off. If you get a notice that says you've got a new update, just hold off on 12.1.2 on your iPhone until we hear more. But I have to say, I have the original one from Monday. No problem at all. I'm on T-Mobile on this iPhone. I'll go check. I don't have it with me, my Verizon iPhone, and see if that's had a problem. I don't think this is too widespread. And it's unfortunate because I have to, you know, used to be if a responsible journal like Forbes reported something, you could believe it. But Forbes particularly has fallen prey to something that I think a lot of online publications have fallen prey to. In order to stay alive, they start to sell content. And they seem to be not particularly careful checking their their content. So I don't know if I trust it. K1KWG says he's been having an issue for about a week on AT&T. All right. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. I will keep an eye out. This is the first I've heard of it, and I haven't seen a lot of howling. Maybe somebody on the line has a problem, though. 8888 Ask Leo. We go to line one. Ken in Merced. Hello, Ken. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Ken? Oh, you're not Ken. I pushed the wrong button. That was Ken. You're Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn in Northridge.
Hi, Ken. I'm so pleased to talk with you.
Oh, thank you for calling, Carolyn.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy Festivus.
I am old and don't like the cable system. Every time I turn around, it's costing me a fortune, and I just don't have that kind of money.
Nobody likes the cable system.
So, I only look at normally the 2, the 4, the 7, the standard channels.
Yeah.
I read an article in Art Magazine about a little antenna system that you actually can put on your wall, not the old-fashioned rabbit ears. I'm trying to find out. I live in an apartment in a little tiny room and all these other apartments around me. Do you know if this thing would work on my wall?
Well, you probably want to point it at the window, but here's what I'm going to suggest to you. There's a couple of... Do you have internet access?
Yes, not that I know how to use it real well, but yes.
Well, you know how to go to a website, right?
Yeah.
All right, there's 2 websites that cover this. You live in an area where you can get... This is like the old days. Remember rabbit ears, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the old days. You live in an area, Northridge, where you can get all of the main network stations perfectly well. They'll come in very clearly. Rabbit ears might work, but what's happened since the days of the rabbit ears is the TV stations have changed to higher frequency signals. So generally you want an antenna that's designed for those frequencies, not the old days. And yes, you can go to any electronics store and say, I need it's called over the air or OTA. I need an OTA antenna. It will come in usually like a cable. You have to have a TV that can handle that. Do you have
I have an old-fashioned TV that it's not a flat screen. It's just a real old TV with a tube in it or something.
What has changed, and it might be an issue with this TV, is these signals are now digital, not analog. So the rabbit ears was an old analog system that plugged into the back. You had those. Remember that brown cable with the 2 prongs, the wires, and you'd attach them to a screw on the back of the TV?
Right.
We're showing our age here, Carolyn.
Well, I'm
so that's probably what you've got. That, unfortunately, will not understand the signals you're getting over the air.
Switch to a cable because my rabbit ears absolutely would not work when I went to digital analog.
Yeah.
So what now I'm trying to figure out if I can go back to my...
You need not only a special antenna, but you'll need a digital decoder box. So you'll get the 2 together and then that will plug into your TV. You would be ideal if you'd aim at close... If you get it close to the window, it'd work a little better.
Okay, so it doesn't have to... All right, so if I find a window...
Doesn't have to be outside. Yeah, it doesn't have to be outside.
Okay.
If you can go to a Best Buy where there's somebody intelligent who can give you some advice, that'd probably be the best.
That's the trick, though.
Yes, isn't it? You tell me all about it.
Yes.
You're talking to a guy in a red bow tie with Christmas lights around his neck. I don't know, lady. I think maybe this will work. So that's why the 2 websites I like are TV Fool... .com, TV Fool. You can put in your address. It'll tell you what signals you'll get and where they're coming from. It'll even tell you what the best antenna is.
Oh, good.
And then there's another one from the Consumer Electronics Association called Antenna Web. That's antennaweb.org. Similar information, but the 2 of them together will make you smarter than the guy at Best Buy.
Oh, good. All right. I appreciate this information so much.
It's my great pleasure.
Have a lovely weekend.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you.
Take care, Carolyn. Bye-bye. Over the air is a great deal. It's high def. Of course, she won't see it on her TV. But if you had a high def TV and you could get it over the air signal, I can't up here. That's why we need cable, but because I'm in the boonies. But if you're near a city and you can get a signal, that's easily the best deal in television. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is sure delightful. What was that? There was a Steve Gibson in his show this week had somebody wrote an ode to Spin Right. Let's see if I can find that. It was to the tune of Let It Snow. But it was, I think it was called Let It Go. Let It Go. Let It Go. Let me see. It's a data loss ditty.
A little data loss ditty for you here. You wanted me to sing. You're going to be sorry.
You're going to be sorry, man. You're going to be sorry.
Oh, an aging hard drive is frightful, but my photos are so delightful. Got no plan, you know, so let it go, let it go, let it go. It doesn't show signs of stopping, cause error correction is still working. The green light is still on, so I let it go, let it go, let it go. The drive wants to say goodnight, but everything seems to be all right. Bits are aged 5 years or more. Seems slower than it did before. The spinning surface is dying, and Smart says it's good buying. I think I backed up a year ago, so I let it go, let it go, let it go. Leo LaVorte, the tech guy, 88. Oh, I'm not giving the number out. Heck, we're gone, man. We got it's Festivus, and then it's Christmas Eve, and then it's Christmas, and I hope you're having a holiday season worthy writing home about. And if, in fact, I hope you're home for the holidays. So glad you're here. We've been talking about passwords and how they're leaking out, and we talked about Have I Been Pwned. But, you know, every year this time, a company called Splash Data publishes the list of the worst passwords of the year. They go through a database of 5 million leaked passwords, mostly from North America and Western Europe, and that's because most of them are in English. They do take out the adult passwords. They don't include passwords for adult sites. So probably this list would be a little different, but this is the list from the clean sites. The number one password of the year, 123456. You know, it was number one last year, too. It's the, it just keeps on coming. Number two password of the year, password. The number three password, up a little bit from last year, 1234567 8 9. Oh, that's three better. And then 1234567 8. And then 1234 5. And then 11111. If any of these passwords sound familiar to you, you immediately need to go out and get a password manager. And fix your passwords. Those are that's the first ones the hackers guess. The very first ones. George, Salina, Kansas, Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. Hi, George.
Hello, Leo. It's a pleasure to listen to your show.
Thank you for listening. I really am grateful to you.
You're welcome. I'm interested. I bought a home in a neighborhood foreclosure, and I didn't realize that there was, you know, a group of people, you know, doing illicit things. I've had my mail stolen.
Oh, man.
And they tried to break in my door.
Oh, Lord.
And I need to go with something like Wyze or Blink.
Yeah. You need a security camera. Now, there's a couple of things you can do. One is get a doorbell cam. I like that. That's particularly useful for package thieves, partly because they're so well known now that the thieves come up the steps and they go, oh, and they turn right around. And the same people who would try to break down your door, they know they're on camera. So there's two companies that are make, actually there's several companies, but the two I like that make doorbell cams. One's a sponsor. They're owned by Amazon. It's called Ring. And this, what we have at home is the Ring video camera. You do have to have an internet connection. It will connect to that, but it gets its power from the power line that your current doorbell's powered by. It's the same, it's the Ringer line, basically. So it can directly replace your wired doorbell. You'll get a camera, you'll get a ping when anybody comes up the steps, you'll get another sound when somebody rings your doorbell. It is really effective. I love it, and it's a great way to keep an eye on package thieves. It's also, you can talk to and listen to anybody on your porch. So
the Wyze and the Blink.
Those are just cameras. Yes. They're just cameras, but they're inexpensive, and that's one advantage. The Wyze is one I would absolutely look at. But the problem with the Wyze is it's not weatherproof.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to put it inside at a window looking out. That would be fine.
Yeah.
The Ring is weatherproof, so that's a good choice for the outdoors.
For the Wyze, do I have to have internet?
Yeah. No, actually. So if so, you don't have Wi-Fi in that house?
No.
All right. So that's, yeah, most cameras use internet to contact you. The Wyze will record without internet. You could put a little SD card in there, but you'll have no way of knowing, but you will at least have a record of what's happened.
Yeah. So with the other one, my cell phone would, ping me.
It'd ping you, and you could go look. I do this all the time. The other company, by the way, that there's another couple of other companies that make doorbell cams. Nest, which is a Google company, makes doorbell cams. So you have Amazon versus Google. And then there's a couple of other companies. I personally like the Ring. I think the Wirecutter also picked the Ring. Those are both, those are really good. Nest has the Hello. They do require Wi-Fi. But then you'd get notifications. You could talk to and listen to somebody at your door. You could say, get away from here. You know, it's really fun. If you go to the Twitter feed for the Ring doorbell, twitter.com/ring, you don't have to have a Twitter account to look at it. They put videos up from time to time of people caught on camera, and it's a hoot because you'll see somebody messing with a guy's car in the driveway. He says, hey, get away from here. I'm calling the police. And they go running. They go running. So I think those are a good idea. There may be cameras that have built-in connectivity. Somebody's saying the Arlos have LTE built-in. And the problem with that, yeah, in fact, they will. The Arlo, it's called the Arlo Go. The problem with that, of course, is you're paying Verizon a monthly fee for data.
Oh.
So it doesn't, the Arlo Go is nice, though. It's outdoors, no power, no wires, no Wi-Fi. You just put it on the, it even has a little solar panel if you want to power it that way. And so you could put that one, that would be a very useful camera to put, you know, right at the corner of your house where people are coming up the walk to your door, because it'd catch everybody on the walk, it'd catch people at your door. It would also notify you. You'd get a live stream or a recording and a ping on your phone. I think that's really a great way to secure your stuff. And I'll tell you what, even if you don't get one, get a dummy one. It has a huge deterrent effect. Bad guys know about these cameras now, and if they see them, they stay well away from them.
Yeah.
So at least a dummy one if you, you don't want to spend the money. But if you don't have internet and you don't mind paying Verizon a monthly fee for access, the Arlo Go is a very good choice too. And that is an outdoor camera. Yeah, you can go to any security store. They'll sell you their dummies that they put in the window. I think thieves are getting a little wise to all of this. Last call of the year, Bruce, Carlsbad, California. Hi, Bruce. Leo Laporte.
Taking my call.
Hey, welcome.
By the way, I just loved Dean Martin on call waiting.
Yeah, we put music on hold on some of our calls.
What an amazing crooner he was.
What can I do for you? Sorry about that.
Yes, last week you took my call on I have the house that has the inadequate coverage.
Yes.
And I have the what's called the structured enclosure, so my service provider comes in and I can take it out to any room I want on RG6. So you told me that I could go ahead and get a wired router and put it in, feed it with WLAN, and then take two LANs out and feed my two wireless routers at the extreme ends of the house.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that's what I want to do, and I've got my everything picked out.
We only have 30 seconds left. Hang on, I'll help you after the show. This is kind of more complicated than I can do in 30 seconds. Big Pee-wee, you're going to have a great Christmas, right? You promised me. Have our musical director, Damien, thank you. Thank you to Kim Schaffer. She is our phone angel. Couldn't do the show without you. Happy Christmas, Kim.
Merry Christmas.
She's sitting in the dark for some reason. They turned the lights out on you?
Oh, right after you're done talking.
Okay.
The lights go out. I'm in the dark.
And happy Christmas. Happy holidays to all of you. Next week, some great best of segments. Pee-wee's going to put those together, and I'll be back in January for more great Tech Guy shows. Happy holidays. A blessed 2019. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great geek year. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here.
And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.